Brother Nolan said he went. He went to the post office and the stamps weren't on sale. Black Friday. You all know that's the Friday following Thanksgiving Day. Often regarded as the beginning of Christmas shopping. Well, in recent years, most major retailers have opened extremely early and offered promotional sales of all kind to kick off the holiday shopping season. Routinely has been the busiest shopping day of the year since 2005. The day's name originated where? Philadelphia. You read my notes. Because I sent them to you. Bill and Edna always want to get a head start. So they asked me to send them my outline. Philadelphia, where originally was used because to describe the heavy and disruptive pedestrian and vehicle traffic which would occur on the day after Thanksgiving. Use of the term started before 1961 and began to see broader use outside of Philadelphia around 1975. Later, an alternative explanation came about. Because you see, the retailers traditionally operated at a financial loss from January through November. So if we can get people to come out and buy on this Friday, we'll go in the black. They've been in the red all year. Now, Black Friday, we'll get them back in the black. Been known to attract aggressive crowds. You didn't. One man the other day was carrying his big TV he just bought out of the store, and somebody grabbed it out of his hands and threatened him with a gun. Well, he went after him while the man was putting it in his car, and the man turned around and shot him. Shot him in the leg. We best stay away. Amen. BlackFriday.com predicts the hottest items for this year will be video game consoles, laptops, televisions, tablets, and even the Kindle Fire. You know why they're buying the Kindle Fire? I hope to read the Bible. The Bible's not on that list. I'm going to ask you this morning, what items are you hot after? What do you want to purchase more than anything else? I see some smiles, so there must be something on somebody's face. What is it that you can't live without? I've got to have it. Linda says her two front teeth. New car? Ethan, what is it you really can't live without? What all was that? Money? What was the rest? so he doesn't have to live on the street. Is it that bad at your house? How many could use a little more money? Just a half a dozen of us? What is it that we want? There was one man, been reported. He found an item, he won it, and he buried it so that no one else could get it. You ever seen that in a story? He didn't have quite enough to get it, but somebody stuck it way back, buried it. He didn't have enough money with him to purchase the item, so he went and sold everything he had. Talk about wanting something bad enough. He sold everything he had, everything he owned, so that he could purchase that one item. Is there anything you want so much that you would be willing to trade everything? Everything you have to obtain that item. Let's read the report. It's found in Matthew 13. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Lord, speak to our hearts today. Speak with your Holy Spirit. Touch us to recognize the value of your kingdom. To recognize that the things of this earth and the things of this life, though they are desirable and though we like to have many of these things, yet none is as valuable as your kingdom to our lives. Teach us from this man's experience who found this treasure and was willing to trade everything that he owned, that he might be able to obtain just this one treasure. We love you this morning, and through the Holy Spirit ask you to speak to our lives conscientiously. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. The kingdom of heaven is more valuable than anything else we can have. And a person must be willing to give up everything to obtain it. Let me ask you this morning again. Are you willing to trade everything you have to get the kingdom of God? The man who discovered the treasure hidden in the field stumbled upon it by accident, but he knew the value of what he had found. And although the transaction cost this man everything, he paid nothing for the treasure itself. He only bought the field. So the cost was for the field. The treasure came with it free of charge. There is nothing more precious than the kingdom of heaven. And yet God gives it to us as a gift if we are willing to surrender over everything to Him. Amen. How bad do you want the kingdom of God? We could ask a lot of people on the street today, how bad do you really want to go to heaven? How much are you willing to trade to be able to go to be with Jesus? Notice that the item of value that Jesus is talking about here is the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. They're used vice versa throughout the scripture. The ruler of the kingdom is Christ, who is a mediatorial king. That is, he mediates between mankind. He is willing to mediate with you and I to get us into the kingdom. The kingdom is not an external and natural kingdom of the Jews. It is not of this world. Jesus said that. This is a kingdom that is outside of the world. People flock to D.C. to see our federal government buildings and how it operates and how it works. We flock to different places around the world to see the various kingdoms. But here's a kingdom that is out of this world. Amen? The only way to enter this kingdom is by regeneration through Christ. How many would like to get into heavenly politics? Heavenly politics. Huh? There's no way to get into that kingdom except through Jesus Christ. You can't buy your way in. You can't politicize your way in. You can't run for that office. Amen? There's nothing you can say or do that will get you in the better favor of Christ to get into His kingdom but through His mediatorial kingship. The only way to enter is to be regenerated, remade, recreated. It is in the hearts of people. It's not in a building. The kingdom of God is not inside this church. It's inside of the hearts of individuals. And it is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. How many can go to Walmart and buy you a box of righteousness? Amen? Can you go to Food Lion and get a big bottle of joy? No, there's no way you can do it. It only comes through the avenue of the Holy Spirit. It is the kingdom of truth. Oh, wow. Wouldn't you like to live in that kingdom? Amen? I'm not going to say it. No, keep my mouth shut here this morning on that. Amen? But how many people can we believe? I read in the newspaper this morning that Americans no longer trust each other. We no longer trust our neighbors. We no longer trust the people around us. If somebody's telling us something, we are wondering, what are they up to? What are they about? But this kingdom that I'm talking about, that the man sold everything he had to obtain it, this kingdom is a kingdom of truth. Hallelujah. The citizens of the kingdom are described, here's what they're like. They're poor in spirit. They're meek. They're merciful. They're peacemakers. They're pure in heart. And they hunger and thirst after righteousness. What about those citizens? How many would like to be in that number? Maybe a half a dozen of us. How many would like to be in that number? Praise the Lord. The term kingdom of heaven denotes the idea that the rule of God is established and acknowledged in the hearts of sinful mankind. The rule of God. Can you imagine that somebody who has been sinful and has been wicked and has been serving the world and serving the flesh and carnality now has the rule of God living in their hearts? Brother Pill was telling us during Sunday school class. How many was here for Sunday school? All right. How many wasn't here for Sunday school? How many would like to come next Sunday for Sunday school? Same crowd that's always here. All right. Lord. No mere human has the ability to bring about the establishment of the kingdom of God in your own life, in your own heart. It's clearly a divine work. Nothing that we can do. So if you want to get in to the kingdom of God, you have to depend on somebody else, not on your own goodness. How many of you are good? You're good. You mean the rest of you are bad? How many of you are, you know, you're kind to your neighbors? You, if anybody's in need, you'll... Huh? How many... the neighbors can be people that live 100 miles away. All right. How many are kind to people walking down the street? You don't shake your fist at people. You don't cuss people out. You're good people, amen? You go about the business of life. You treat everybody as you would like to be treated, huh? Is that going to get you into heaven? Is that going to make you a way into the kingdom of Christ? No. Can you do anything? Is there anyone here that can do anything that you can go up to God and say, God, look what I've done. Now you can let me in. I've had people tell me, you know, I did this or that or the other thing. That ought to amount to something when I get to the pearly gates. No, 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 no. The only way in is through the redemptive grace of Jesus Christ. Not of our own abilities nor our own doing. When Christ establishes His kingdom in the heart of a sinner, He creates for Himself a realm in which He rules and in which He dispenses the greatest privileges and the choicest blessings, making it a reality that sinful man now becomes a new creation through Christ Jesus. I heard Jimmy Swaggart say many years ago, when you get real salvation, when you really are saved and born again, even the dogs and the cats will know at home. Amen? Those old dogs that you kick out of the way when they get in your way, or that cat that you push aside and say, well, you don't do anything but sleep all day anyhow. They'll even know you've gotten saved. There's a difference. Amen? The people around you will know that you've been changed. In other words, you become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Where you were running the ship before and saying, I'll do this and I'll do that and I'll do the other. Now you set Him up as the ruler of your life and you say, I'm no longer in charge. You are. Although this kingdom is closely related to the church, it is not identical with the church because it and its work reaches far beyond the work of the church. If every sinful person in the world would seek for the kingdom of heaven as this man did here in the text, the world would be transformed into a different place to live. Can you imagine that? Wouldn't it be nice if everybody got saved? Wouldn't it be nice if everybody was in the kingdom of Christ? Wouldn't it be nice if everybody were citizens that were meek and merciful and peacemakers and pure in heart and hungered and thirst after righteousness? Wouldn't you like to have everybody, if that happened in the world, there'd be no more murder for on the front page. There'd be no more bank robberies in downtown. There'd be no more assaults anyplace. All of that would be past history. Wouldn't that be a nice world to live in? A place of peace, a place of kindness, and of love for everyone with no wicked practices nor sinful living. That's what is possible through the kingdom of Christ. Now, think about that for a moment. What a transformation. We are sitting down at tables around the world looking for peace. We are trying to work out ways in which we can bring our soldiers back home and everybody would be peaceful and everybody would get along. There's one answer for the entire world, and that is the kingdom of Christ. And that's why it's so valuable. Seeing that this kingdom is not of this world, but is from the heart of God Himself, that makes it a treasure. Amen. Amen. What do you have home that's a treasure? What do you have home? You know, I had somebody telling me they had company came to their house the other week, and they went around their house saying, "How much you want for that? How much you want for that? How much money I've got? We've got enough money," they said. "We can buy it. How much do you want for it?" They were searching for things to take along home with them. They wanted to buy stuff right off the wall. How'd you like that? Huh? What do you have at home that I could come to your house and say, "I'd like to have that. Can I buy it?" Is there anything in the house that you have that you would say, "Absolutely not. It's not for sale"?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Brother Al. You're old. Glory. If you said she was, we'd have started a bidding auction here this morning. You see, the kingdom of God is that treasure that no one can purchase. It is that kind of a government, that kind of a rulership, that kind of an organism, an organization that is beyond anything this world can even comprehend. Can you imagine that there could be a day in which there was no sin, no wickedness, no murder, no burglary, no hatefulness, no wickedness, no sinfulness, no lust? Can you imagine? It's only possible through the kingdom of Christ. No one can be good enough to obtain the membership in the kingdom of God. No one can buy their way into that kingdom. Jesus declared in Matthew 4 that the only way to get Christ's attention for membership is repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The only way to get in. I don't care how much money you got in your wallet. Mine's full of cards and all. I've got my hunting license in there, and I've got all the church's tax exempt cards for all the stores in there, and I can't even get it completely shut. See, it's not money. Hello. But even if I had a couple thousand dollars in there, would that get me into God's kingdom? If I brought my checkbook this morning and said, "God, I'll write you out a check for $1,000 or a couple thousand dollars," would God say, "Well, now let me see. For you, it might take 10. For Bill Gates, God might say, "Well, you make me out a check for $50 billion. That'll get you in. Won't get your membership." You can't get into the kingdom except by one avenue: repent.
That's right.
Repentance of sin is key to entrance into the kingdom of heaven. The apostle said in Acts, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Now we're talking about what you would give up everything for. And here is the price. You must repent of your sins because you want to make it into membership of the kingdom of God. This vast treasure that a man would sell everything in order to obtain. Now repentance consists of three elements. Number one, an intellectual element. A change of view, a recognition of sin as involving personal guilt, defilement, and helplessness. You have to come to the place up here where you realize, hey, what I'm doing is wrong. What I'm doing is defiling my life. What I'm doing is contrary to the aspects of Jesus and His commandments. What the lifestyle I am living, the things that I say, the things that I do, they are contrary to God. And I realize intellectually that I am making a mistake and it is making me defiled and I am guilty. The second aspect of repentance is an emotional aspect. A change of feeling manifesting itself in sorrow for sin committed against a holy and a just God. That is being godly sorrowful. When we come to Christ and we recognize, first of all, I'm a sinner. I'm doing things that are contrary to Christ, contrary to God. And now I feel in my heart, I'm so sorry. I am really deeply sorry, Lord, for the things that I have committed against You. And then thirdly, it is a volitional element, consisting in a change of purpose, an inward turning away from sin, and a disposition to seek pardon and cleansing. So we recognize I'm a sinner. I'm contrary to God's ways and God's wills. And now I feel so bad and guilty over the lifestyle and the things that I'm saying and doing that's contrary to the Lord. And so, because of that, I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to change my actions. I'm going to repent before God, recognizing my wrong and opening my heart of the guilt that I have and saying, God, I'm willing to change my lifestyle for You. That's the only way into the kingdom. That's the only way to get in. No money, no good works, nothing else will get you there. Except this repentance. The priceless aspect of the kingdom of heaven is that membership into it is given freely. Hallelujah. Cost you nothing for remission of sins. They've already been paid for by Christ Himself. So when you come, leave your pocketbook. When you come, whatever priceless treasure you picked up at Walmart on Friday, leave it at home. I don't care if you have a 60-inch TV. I don't care if it fills the whole side of your room. When you come to get into the kingdom of God, leave it at home. I don't care if you're driving a Mercury or a Ford or a Cadillac or a Mercedes-Benz or a Ferrari. Let it at home. It won't get you into the kingdom.
Amen.
I don't care how many clubs you belong to. You can belong to the... should I name them? The Masons? You can belong to the Ruitan? You can belong to the golf club down the street? You can belong to all of the social clubs in town? You can have your certificates hanging on the wall, but when you come to get into the kingdom of Christ, let them hang there because they're not going to get you in. I don't care if you come to Emmanuel Chapel for Sunday school and morning worship and Wednesday night, and you're begging the pastor to get in between times. I don't care how much you come, how much you give, how hard you shake my hand, that will not get you into the kingdom.
Amen.
Only repentance.
Amen. Hallelujah.
For you see, the blood of Christ has already been spilled to pay for the washing away of your sins. Listen, for this is my blood, said Jesus, of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. For what? The remission of sins. The remission of sins. How many have spick and span at home? Mr. Clean. Fantastic. Grease lightning. Huh? Vinegar and water. Scrub your sins away with that. Wouldn't it be something if I told you, all you sinners, come up here and I'll spray you down with fantastic. That way your sins will be washed away. No, 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 no. There's only one cleansing agent, and that's the blood of Jesus. Much more, said Paul, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. There it is. That's the price that had been paid to get you into the kingdom, to get you membership. See, you found the field. And maybe you've traded everything else. You know, I've seen people when they came to the Lord, I've seen them get in their purse and get out their eyeshadow and get out their makeup and, you know, and get out this and get out that because they were taught you had to clean up. I've seen them. I had one gentleman who smoked 2 packs of cigarettes a day for 50 years. When he came to the altar, he got up from the altar and there laid his cigarettes on the altar. He quit that day when he got saved. He left them there. But you can bring it all. But it only one way to get rid of the guilty conscience, to get rid of the sinful stains in your life, and that is the blood of Christ.
Amen.
Let me ask you this question. Whether you shop Friday or not, are you searching for a treasure? I've introduced you to the greatest treasure ever. Walmart and Target will never match it. Treasure itself is absolutely free, but it will cost you everything. You have to get in the field where it is. Are you ready to pay the price? How many want to go shopping for the greatest treasure? How many think you can pick it up at Walmart? Neither can you get it at Nemus Market, nor Macy's, nor Bloomingdale's. They still in business? The only place you can get this treasure is on your knees, repenting, confessing, and accepting Christ. Do you want that treasure? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Lord, we're in this season right now where everybody's attention is drawing to buying. We got to buy this, we got to buy that. And the stores are doing everything in their power to try and separate us from our money. That's where our attention is. The little children, all they see on TV and all they see in the advertisements, and when they walk in the store, and you hear them hollering out to mommy and daddy, "I want this! I want that! Oh, I've got to have this!" Lord, we need to be able to train them. There's a treasure that is greater than anything in this world. And they need to see that treasure in our own lives, in our own hearts. That treasure is your kingdom. I ask you, Lord, don't let anybody leave this place this morning without having been accepted into membership in the kingdom of God. Right now, Lord, if there's anybody, if there's anyone who has come to the knowledge, "I'm a sinner. I recognize that I've been doing things that are contrary to the Lord's will. I've been living a life that is not pleasing to Christ. I've been doing things that Jesus is dissatisfied with." They recognize that intellectually. Now, Holy Spirit, help them in their hearts to understand and say, "I am so sorry for not pleasing Jesus. I am so sorry down deep in my heart for going against the one who has loved me more than anyone else has ever loved me. I feel so guilty and so wrong for the things that I've been committing and doing. And now, Lord, I repent. I'm saying to you, Master, I repent of my sins. I will change my life by your help, by your grace. I bend my heart before you, Lord. Forgive me, and I will cease living and doing the things that are contrary to your way and will. Wash me and cleanse me. And now, Lord Jesus, accept me into the priceless treasure of your great kingdom. Amen." Amen. As you stand, turn to your neighbor and say, "I belong to the kingdom."